Well, I'd like us to continue to pray as we open God's word, because I'd like to ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Lord, we ask that you open our ears to hear you speaking, our minds to understand what you're saying to us, and our hearts to direct our actions in love as we respond to your word this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I was quite disappointed when Joyce told me about the visit last week that I wasn't here. She told me that I missed a really good visit of the Diamonds, and it's a real shame that what they shared was too sensitive for it to have been recorded so that I could have listened to it. The visit of the Link missionaries comes in the middle of our sermon series, Fruitfulness on the Front Line, and we've got another story today of fruitfulness on the front line, not in India this time, but in Brazil. But before we go to Brazil and to hear a bit more that I'm going to share with you about the work of Menina Dança, let's go to 5th century Persia. We'll take a time travel. I recently read a book. It was a novel by David Baldacci called Absolute Power. I think it was made into a film with Clint Eastwood and Gene Hackman. Now, a lot of you all know that I'm a fan of Gene Hackman and of Clint Eastwood. It's a fictional story, but it gives an interpretation of the quote by the 19th century politician Lord Acton: power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. A political thriller told of the lengths that a White House chief of staff goes to cover up a deed where the president caused the death of the wife of one of his active financial supporters. You can see it's quite an intriguing story about the wielding and abuse of power in the highest public office in America. A story where man's basest desires cause the corruption and abuse in the lives of those who come into contact with him. A bit like that story from Esther, really, where we've got the official Haman exercising his power and threatening the destruction of the Jews. The Book of Esther is in the Jewish faith, is read during the Feast of Purim, which happens in March, and it's read twice, on the eve of Purim and again on the morning of the feast day. Esther came into the household of the king as a result of a beauty pageant, I guess a Miss Persia contest. And as a Jewess, she hid her ethnicity. And we caught up with the story today where Haman had sent out this edict, or paid for this, paid the king so that he could threaten the Jews with death. I'm sure you're all familiar with the story that after Esther has fasted and prayed, she then visits the king, and the story is completely overturned. The Jews are saved, Mordecai is honoured, and Haman suffers the fate that he was going to give to Mordecai. I think that the essence of this morning's reading for me was that verse 14, where Mordecai tells Esther that, you know, if you stay silent, then even in your royal position, you may not escape, but that the Jews will be saved by somebody else. But she responded to that and didn't remain silent and spoke out. I think that goes back to the fruitfulness that we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about speaking out for truth and justice. That's exactly what Esther did. She went out and spoke out, pointed out to the king what was going on. And the king remembered Mordecai's good deeds and saved him. And in doing so, saved the Jews as well. It's that royal position of Esther that is probably key here, in that the relationship she had with the king, she could go to him and explain what was going on. And it, when I was preparing this, it brought me to think about our royal position. For we are royalty. I don't know whether you think about that on a daily basis, but we are royalty. We are sons and daughters of the King. The Bible tells us in the letters of John and Peter. John says in chapter 1, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, children of the King." And that's what we are. And 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." So I wonder this morning if there are questions for us about times on our front line that warrant our response from our royal position. You know, who knows, but you have come to your royal position at such a time as this, on your front line, when something's going on. Is it your turn to speak out? Is it my turn to speak out? So coming back from 5th century BC Persia, back to today, let's take a trip to Brazil. I recently became a trustee for Menina Dança. So I consider that Menina Dança and the work of raising awareness and the funds in this country for the work is part of my front line. So I make no apology for this morning for any way of encouraging you, enticing you, persuading you that this work is fundamental to the well-being of these children in Brazil. So let's find out a bit about the work in Brazil, which is combating the effects of absolute power being wielded amongst the poor and vulnerable along that motorway, the BR116. Now, I'm not sure that Matt Roper was particularly prompted by the verse from Esther, but having seen what was happening to the children along that motorway, he took the action which founded the charity back in 2012. And by January 2013, the first Pink House was opened in Magina, followed by a couple of years later in January 2015, the other one in Candido Sales. To publicise what was going on there, Matt's written a book, and there's also, if you look on the website, you can view a video which was made called This Life. I think on the website it's actually called something in Portuguese, but I can't remember the Portuguese, so we'll have to do with this life. Nina Dancer works not only with the girls who are subjected to abuse and exploitation, resulting from, you know, that abuse and exploitation is a result of their poverty and of the corruption of the culture along the in the towns along the motorway. The team in Brazil also work with the authorities there. They want to change the culture. And the authorities in Magina and Candida Salis acknowledge now the gravity of the problem there and have given their full support to the projects. Now, the projects at the moment in each of the towns works with more than 60 girls and their families. Although the team think that there are more than 200 girls being actively exploited in those two towns. For them, it's become a way of life. It's the for the girls, it's not only that they're getting involved, but they're being taken into it by their families. And it goes on generation after generation. You know, the girls' mums were taken into that way of life by their mums. And this is what the team in Brazil are fighting against. So we've seen from the videos that the team use dance and other creative activities to reach out to these girls. The houses are open 5 days a week, and they bring in teams of educators, workshop teachers and professionals. There's a social worker involved, and they work with the girls' families to try and challenge these entrenched attitudes and behaviours. You'll remember the story a few in the last couple of years where the mayor of Magina, I think it was Magina, was arrested as a result of our letter campaign, or a letter campaign from the UK. Because it's the culture is entrenched in as deep in the authorities as that. So what can we do to help? What can we do to help? As a member of the trustees, we'd appreciate your prayers. We'd appreciate your prayers so that, to help us raise awareness of this going on, of the work. And we were recently at the Big Church Day Out, and that was a great success. It was amazing that the people that came along to the stand we had at the exhibition there said that we were the only charity that working in this field. There are lots of charities working in the child poverty area, but no one focused specifically on this issue. And there is still a lot of work to do. We've identified the next town. South of Magina, there's a town called Mucuri. That's probably an anglicised pronunciation of it. And we're considering opening initially a dance school there to reach out to the children affected in that region. At the end of the service, you'll be given a leaflet detailing our current campaign to adopt a kilometre. So I'd ask that you prayerfully consider doing that. And please talk about Menina Dancer. You know, if you've got friends and family, raise awareness of this issue in Brazil. Get them to go on the website and have a look. Because I think it's heartbreaking that children are involved in this sort of activity. And it's heartbreaking when it gets entrenched into the culture. And I think we need to do something about it. I think we need to be active. And that's why I've gotten involved. I couldn't stand back and let it go on. We had a coffee morning yesterday, which raised a little bit of money. You'll see after the service that there are still things available for you to take. I've got copies of Matt's book here, Highway to Hell. And if you pledge to adopt a kilometre, I'll happily give you a copy of that. We can each make a difference to the lives of children out there in Brazil by contributing to this work, contributing in prayer, and contributing financially. So I commend Menina Dancer to you and ask that you prayerfully consider that, please. Would you pray with me now as we pray for their work again? Lord, I want to pray first of all for the team over in Brazil, for Matt and Phil, for Holly and the coordinators at the Pink Houses, for each of the social workers and the people who come to raise the self-esteem of the girls, to change their view of life. Lord, you've given them a heart for this work, and I pray that you would continue to fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they would know your presence each day as they help practically. Lord, I pray too for my fellow trustees here in the UK, and for Charlotte, our coordinator, that, Lord, you would give us wisdom to know how best to respond to the need in Brazil. How best to respond to face the challenge that the changing political circumstances here in the UK affects the exchange rate. That, Lord, I pray too that you'll provide us with the resources to increase the reach of the team in Brazil into the other towns along the BR116. That instead of that motorway being a highway to hell, it might become a motorway to heaven, to see you in your glory. May this work be to your glory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, before we finish our service this morning, we sing one last hymn, Everyone Needs Compassion.